Hello, I'm Alex Ewing and welcome to Out of the League. We have been treated to an absolutely fantastic bank holiday weekend of football, and we had reporters across the country covering games. Make sure you check them out on our website, outoftheleague.co.uk. In this week's show, we hear from Alex Lacey about what it's like playing for Luton Town and what the season holds for the club. We also hear from some fans in our new feature, From the Stands, as they report on their clubs this bank holiday weekend. Finally, we focus on some of the more interesting talking points from over the weekend. It's fair to say it's been an action-packed bank holiday weekend, and we've been treated to a wide array of different activities. We've seen Barnet leapfrog Cambridge United to the top of the Squirrel Premier. Chester have finally broken their scoring duck, but sadly still remain pointless. And over 7,500 fans were at a single Squirrel Premier game on Monday. Not bad for the fifth tier of English football. We start this week's show catching up with the promising Luton Town defender, Alex Lacey.
Well, first of all, how do you think the game went?
I thought we defended very well. I think we've had a lot of chances kind of going forward. I think it's the same with the other games. I think it's just kind of taking a little bit of time to score some goals, really. But I'm sure the chances will come. I mean, we've been working hard in training and working hard, and I think our defensive shape's very good. And we've got the ball down and passed some nice things today. So I think it's only a matter of time before we start scoring goals.
You've had a tough game today, but also had a tough game on Saturday, and it doesn't really get any easier for you. Is it good for you to get these games out of the way at the start, or would you really prefer, after you've got going a bit, to play these tougher teams?
Well, I think with any game, I think Luton would be considered favourites, so I think teams always up their game to play us anyway. So whether you're playing the bottom of the league or the top of the league, I think they're all kind of working hard to play against us, and they're all putting the effort in. But I think it's definitely good to play the tougher teams in first and get them out of the way, because hopefully we can do well against them and keep climbing up the league. But
yeah, you say that Luton often seen as favourites, and you've got some experienced players. How, like Mark Tyler, Steve McNulty, how big is that for you? Because in your debut season, is that helpful? Or
yeah, definitely. It's great to have some experience in the team, especially next to me and in goal, kind of talking to me through the game. And I couldn't ask for any better players. I mean, McNulty's a real leader, and playing next to him is unbelievable. He gets you through the game very well, and his communication, his kind of natural leadership is great. And then obviously Tyles has played hundreds of games in the league, so he's obviously a fantastic man to play in front of, so I couldn't ask for two better players.
You talked about the leadership of McNulty. You were given the captain's armband in pre-season to improve your chatting on the game. How do you think that's gone for you? Do you think that's something to still improve? Or
Yeah, definitely. I can always improve my communication. I think that's one of my main weaknesses as a player. I think that's what I've been looking to do during pre-season. Yeah, it's definitely an honour to get the captain's armband. I think the manager gave it to give me more responsibility and kind of more presence on the pitch. And yeah, I think I reacted to it pretty well. I mean, we beat kind of a couple of good teams, and but yeah, it was really pleasing to beat a couple of big teams, especially where you're captain.
It must be really, as you said, it's pleasing that John still has the trust in you there. How instrumental has he been for you as a player?
Yeah, he's been fantastic for me. I mean, he's a manager with an eye towards the younger players in the team, and ever since I've been given a chance, I think I've kind of worked hard to get a place in the team, and yes, he's shown a lot of confidence in me and given me a lot of confidence myself. So yeah, it's definitely a big thing for me.
Do you think this season, well, the few months at the end of the season last year at Eastleigh helped to improve you, or were you a bit gutted that you weren't in the Hatters starting lineup?
Well, the year before last, I went out to Eastbourne, Cambridge, and Thurrock as well. And that was big, kind of a lot of different teams, and you play different styles and you play against different teams. And I think the most important thing, if you're a young player, I was 18, 19 then. I think the most important thing is just to get games and get experience. So last season when I came back, I was kind of hoping to get into the team, but I dislocated my shoulder in pre-season. So it's it was frustrating not to be in with a chance, especially spending the first 6 months of the season last season here at the club. But yeah, since I went out to Eastleigh, I got a lot of regular games, and I was doing really well down there. I think that experience has been great for me, and I've brought that back in and used that at Luton.
Looking forward to the rest of the season. What's your personal aims as well as club aims as well? Presumably promotion for the club, but
yeah, definitely. I think promotion's the biggest one. I mean, this is a difficult league to get out of, especially with one team automatically going up. I mean, it's definitely a goal of the team to go up automatic. But I think anything, it's just the promotion is the biggest thing for myself personally. I think I'd like to play as many games as I could possibly play, being amongst the team, obviously stay injury free and kind of just keep playing well and keeping the team.
Moving on to other news, it's been a bad weekend if you're a Wrexham fan. After drawing at home on Saturday in a game where Andy Morrell said the decision to award the first penalty when Brett Ormerod tangled with Hyde striker Lewis Armand as the worst decision he'd ever seen in football. Wrexham's bank holiday really only went from bad to worse, going on to lose 2-0 away at Lincoln. Again, Morrell described this as the worst performance of his tenure. So Wrexham fans, we want to hear from you. Was the decision really that bad against Hyde? And the performance against Lincoln, was it the worst of Morrell's tenure? What went wrong? We also want to hear from fans of any non-league club. What is the worst refereeing decision you've seen while following your team? Finally, we end this week's show with our new feature, From the Stands. The idea behind this is to give you, the fans, the chance to talk about your club, as Will Essley and Jacob Greenwood do brilliantly.
The bank holiday weekend was a busy one for Aldershot Town, with 2 games in 4 days. It was a chance for the Shots to get out of the minus points and reach zero. The Shots' first opponents were Salisbury City, and the fans were positive, but unfortunately the performance was poor. The Shots started reasonably well with Aaron Wicken hitting the crossbar with his head, but the game soon went dead, with both sides struggling to create chances and get a sight on goal. The second half was dominated by the Shots, but they were made to pay for not taking their chances when Theo Lewis broke the deadlock for Salisbury completely against the run of play, and that's how the game ended. It was a disappointing affair for the Shots, but made them even more determined to turn over Woking on Monday. The derby was sure to be a spicy affair, but the Shots got off to a dream start when striker Matt Patterson netted his first goal for the Shots, slotting into the bottom corner of the net after just 22 seconds. Woking were clearly rattled, with the East Bank in full song. The Shots entered dreamland in the 19th minute when Brett Williams made it 2-0 with a header. Jake Goodman then put the ball into the net for what seemed like a third, but it was ruled out by the referee and his assistant, much to the amusement and confusion of many fans. Brett Williams continued to be a nuisance for the Woking defence, and Craig Stanley and Mark Molesley both went close with sensational long-range volleys. The second half was more even, and Woking started to advance, but the Shots held firm and came close to a third when Rowlands flashed a free kick wide. Then came the moment of controversy. I was sat in the community stand for this game behind the goals, had a very good view of the incident, and I can assure you it was not a penalty, as Glenn Morris, the goalkeeper, clearly won the ball, but the ref awarded one and Gavin Williams converted, which meant Aldershot were in for a tense final 20 minutes. Luckily, the Shots held on for a memorable win. It's always nice to win against your rivals.
Hello, I'm Jacob Greenwood, founder of the unofficial Woking website everythingwokingfc.com. I'm just going to talk you through the 2 games we've had this bank holiday weekend. First of all, we started up against Welling at home. It's always quite a tough game for Woking, as in recent years they've had quite a poor record against Welling and their manager Jamie Day. Woking fans have been hoping for different this year. Unfortunately, they probably knew quite early on it wasn't going to be their day when goalkeeper Aaron Howe punched a corner into his own goal. And then Woking found themselves 3-0 down within half an hour, conceding 3 goals in 14 minutes, which is quite tough for them to take. They've been quite slow starters so far this season in games, and Gary Hill and the management team have been quite disappointed that after a good 2-0 win at Chester, they found themselves 3-0 down and probably out of the game so quickly here. They did grab a goal back just before half-time, through Brett Johnson, but literally just as the second half started, Jack Parkinson got sent off for Woking, down to 10 men, 3-1 down. There was probably no way back for them, and just to rub salt in the wound, ex-Woking striker Locke Pires came on, scored, made it 4-1. Woking dragged it back to 4-2, but the game was already lost by then, and everyone's kind of attentions had turned to Aldershot, which is a big derby for Woking. Hasn't been played in 5 years. Only 11 miles separate the two teams. So this was quite a big derby game. Probably one of the biggest in the conference. Woking would have been hoping for better. A bit of a reaction from the team. But it wasn't. Again, it wasn't to happen. Found themselves 1-0 down within 20 seconds this time. Straight from the kick-off, Woking gave the ball away. Gave away a throw-in. Aldershot take the throw-in. Matt Patterson, a good run, mazy run, just goes straight through the Woking defence and slots it past Aaron Howe in the Woking goal, 1-0 down. And then after 18 minutes, Brett Williams, former Woking striker again, at the back post, good header, 2-0 within 18 minutes again, sloppy early goals from Woking, and throughout the whole game there was never really much of a response. They did grab a consolation goal through a penalty, Gavin Williams slotting home, but other than that they didn't really look threatening in the final third, and throughout the whole game they looked kind of dodgy at the back. They were missing three players. Obviously Parkinson was suspended after being sent off against Willing. They were also missing Giuseppe Sol, who got sent off at Braintree earlier in the season, and Josh Payne, who got sent off at Chester.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Out of the League. We'll be back next week covering the weekend's games. Remember, Wrexham fans, we want to hear from you about what went wrong over the bank holiday. Everyone else, please get in touch and tell us the worst refereeing decisions you've seen while following your team.